ear, bass on your ear. Take your iPod, your iPad with your HD display. Connect them to the cloud so your data's up to date. With your tablet in the air, play some solid game. Log into Facebook, tag a photo you can share. Tweet your plans, and play some Angry Birds now. Come on, baby, tell me who's the nerd. Nerd up. Everybody say, grab your GPS and get up on your Segway. Nerd up. It's a way of the world. No matter where you are, you got a 4G signal.
It's time for the Nerd Up Podcast, and here's your pod hosts, Guilty Wilson.
Nerd Up!
All right, once again, it's time for another Nerd Up. I'm your host, Guilty Wilson, along with...
Isaac Wilson.
That's right. We're here to talk... Actually, today's podcast is going to be... we're trying a new thing. Maybe it'll be an ongoing thing. It will be, but we've got some friends in the nerd community that are going to start contributing a little more. We're going to, first of all, of course, we'll talk with Brandon later on during this podcast. And that's when we'll talk about comic books and other stuff. But I brought in an expert on television. Okay, maybe he's not really an expert, but he
watches it more than us.
Yeah, he watches, and he's got a lot of shows that he watches, nerdy shows along with us. And he's got a lot of good insight. His name's Eric Billingsley. I went to school with him, went to college with him. And yeah, your mom goes to college. But anyway, so he, that was the dog groaning at that joke. That's what it was. But anyway, he's... contributes to a blog, and he writes in-depth reports about television. I mean, very in-depth. He kind of analyzes, and I thought, well, hey, let's get Eric in on the podcast. So later on, you'll be hearing from him. And like I said, Brandon will come in. We'll talk about other nerdy things. I'm thinking Brandon's going to probably want to talk about television as well, but we'll just do an intro and as to who Eric is, and then we'll talk about television shows he's watching and he's going to keep track for us on the podcast. You ready for this? You look really cool with that headset. Yeah, we also got a new recording setup that we got going, and Isaac's got the full headset like sports announcers, and so he'll be doing the play-by-play.
Sunday, Sunday, Sunday.
Don't do that. Oh, my God. It's, like, really loud. So, yeah, don't ever cover up that microphone. Anyway... So we'll be doing that. But first, to start out the podcast, we're going to talk about the movie The Do. And Isaac and I went to go see that at the Eagle Theater here in Robinson. Once again, don't forget, if you want to go see a great movie in a great theater, you got the Eagle Theater in Robinson. Or if you're in Clinton, Illinois, you can go see at the Clintonia Eagle. You can go see a movie there as well. And they're run by the same company. And, oh, my gosh, those guys that go all out. You got free refills on your soda. I think Thursdays is bring your own container popcorn thing. And I think they got containers of free refills of popcorn, too. I'm not sure on that one, though. I know. I have to get my facts before I do podcasts. What do you think?
Maybe.
But anyway, but Eagle Theater, they got great. Every seat in the house is a great seat. There's nothing bad. So we went there and saw the movie The Devil's Due. And I really don't know what to expect. It was, you know, I was expecting a horror movie, of course, and it was. It was, you know.
Slightly.
Along the lines of Rosemary's Baby. I know this is before your time, Isaac. The Omen. Let's see. Even The Exorcist, maybe a little. The storyline, anyway. But the filming was a lot like Paranormal Activity. You also had a little bit of Insidious thrown in there, and those are sequels, and... See, the problem with it that I had, and we'll talk more about that here in a little bit, but...
It wasn't scary enough.
Well, no, it was just that the whole handheld camera thing, I think that's been outdone. I mean, with Paranormal Activity, they had the mounted cameras and the handhelds, and then this one had the handheld, and then, of course, hidden cameras, which, well, that might have been a bit of a spoiler. But anyway, it opens up with a guy in a questioning room at the police station, and the police officer... question, and he says, I told you I didn't do it. I didn't kill her. And then they start going with the back. And basically the story is a man and a woman get married, and he has always been a video camera guy. He's always videotaped, I guess it goes back to the videotape days. He's recorded everything he's ever done just for fun, you know, grins, giggles. And so he has his camera. with him at all times. That's why the movie is based on that. And I think it's kind of silly, but I mean, it just, the camera bouncing around, you get bored with it real quick.
Paranormal Activity started it, and that Paranormal Activity is the only thing that the cameras really fit with.
No, it actually started before that with the Blair Witch Project. Have you never seen that, have you?
No, but I know the Brood Witch.
Yeah, the Brood Witch. No, that's a sandwich. That's a. But anyway, Blair Witch Project actually started this whole handheld camera horror film genre thing. And, it's been done. That's why I'm feeling. But anyway, the guy and the wife, the newlywed, they go on their vacation. And during this vacation, they go. And really, the location at first is very, you know, it's like, ooh, this is evil. And after a while, you realize, okay, by the end of the movie, you realize location matter. But they go to Santo Domingo. They go partying, and they, you know, celebrate. They're like a festival thing going where they're dancing in the streets. And they get lost. They can't find their way home. And then they find a taxi driver who says, you need taxi? And then, I take you to a place special. And they go to this place. It's like in these back alleys. And
you're saying it like he's Asian. You need taxi. No, I take you now.
No, not Asian. He's, you know, really don't. At the end of the movie, you don't know what race he is. But anyway, takes him back in these back alleys. People staring at him. They got all these, and you catch it. Really, I caught it anyway. These weird symbols all over the walls and stuff as they're walking down the alleyways, and you're like, oh, this ain't gonna be right. But you know, going into the movie, you know that something's up anyway.
Oh my gosh, it's the same symbol as the logo for the movie.
So, and they go on through this, and basically they end up at this place. It's a nightclub, and there's another newlywed couple there, and the handheld camera gets put away, but you catch glimpses of something going on. And one of the things going on is that they have, the people are drugged and passed out, and they take them to some place and some weird lights around that same school, and they place the woman's body in there, and some kind of bright lights come up, and then they wake up in their hotel bed. But anyway, she gets pregnant. 9 months later, the devil's due. So play on words with that title, the devil's due, meaning he's getting his devil's due, getting his earnings, or the devil's due, meaning the due date.
So, of a baby.
Of the baby. So, but yeah, she gets pregnant, and all sorts of weirdness starts happening, and, well, I'm not going to give any more at the end.
Scary skeletons.
Yeah, there's just all sorts of weird stuff. I mean, but the whole problem I had with it, all in all, I think the storyline was pretty good. It had a pretty interesting concept, but it's that whole handheld camera thing just drove me nuts. It's like, it's been done. I was tired. I was bored, actually, because they took so long to build up the scenes.
I just thought it wasn't really that scary, because
it really wasn't scary.
It's not scary. If I don't cover my eyes, then it's not scary.
Yeah, Isaac's well known for covering his eyes during a good horror film. But my opinion in it is that, again, the storyline, I'm just tired and bored with that whole handheld camera, hidden camera, mounted camera, home video camera, filming.
VCR tapes.
VCR tapes was in his previous life, so. But then there's even a moment where in the film where these kids are out playing around by a river, and they discover, well, they,
not kids, more like
teenagers,
hicks. Teenager hicks, yeah.
But they discover a slain deer, but even they have handheld video cameras, so it's like,
maybe it's in the future and they're all just like, maybe it's a day when all handheld cameras are like 50% off.
Maybe that's it. They got a good sale, so. That's my opinion of the movie. Isaac?
The atmosphere was kind of creepy, but it wasn't really, you know, a jump scare kind of horror film.
Yeah, I had a couple of jump scare moments, but not really. You knew that they're coming up, actually.
Yeah, not jump scare in your face.
Yeah.
I don't know where else to go with this. I mean, I guess the storyline was okay.
Yeah.
But Insidious 2's storyline was better.
Yeah, exactly. So, if you're going to go catch this, catch it at a big screen because it's more fun that way. But then again,
if you do have to watch it at home on a DVD, turn your lights out.
Yeah, turn the lights out, and that's when it's scarier. I don't know. It just, like I said, that handheld bores me anymore. At first it was cool.
It could be the fact that, you know, like every time something quote unquote scary happens, like it's daytime, kind of.
Yeah.
Well, most of the time.
Yeah, the everything was, I mean, it was not just a nighttime scariness like Paranormal Activity was.
No, well, Paranormal Activity.
Scary Normal. Hey, that just sounds like a good movie title.
Paranormal Activity was had a few moments in the daytime, but not really, you know, like more than, let's say, 10% of the movie.
Right, right. Yeah, I can see that. So, yeah, I was bored. I really was bored because, I mean, the storyline altogether, great, but it just took so long for parts to happen.
Well, I guess you can kind of say you're bored because you've seen, it's basically a whole bunch of horror movie kind of genres combined into one, and you've already seen most of those other genres. Like, you've got the psycho killing, like, Carrie or something. You've got the Paranormal Activity cameras being set up, all weird stuff happening around the house.
Yeah.
You've got Insidious with one person being haunted.
Yeah.
You've seen all the movies before with that.
And they put it all together into one.
Yeah.
Thinking, oh, this is new. No, it wasn't.
They kind of just got a snowball and rolled it across the horror movie genre.
That's it. Exactly. So, I don't know. If I were to give this movie a letter grade, I would have to say C- on it.
B- probably.
B- for you?
B- C+, somewhere in there.
Yeah. My C- is because, like I said, the storyline kept it, the main idea behind it kept it good, but the way they did it was boring. So that
also, you've got room for sequels, kind of like...
Oh, gosh, yes. Well, actually, at the beginning, there was a room for sequels because they talk about... And you don't realize this till about halfway through.
It's
but
the John quote, something, yeah, John 11:2.
From 18, or I can't remember. Yeah, it's anyway, the from the Bible saying there are many antichrists being born. And so at the beginning, they kind of tell you, that hey, there's sequels possible. And then at the end, I won't spoil it, but there's a thing, there's definitely going to be a sequel. I hope not, because it'll be the same thing over. You said coming out of theater, there could be room for a prequel. Even mm-hmm.
It
could be
okay.
Another franchise movie thing, but I hope not because they were bored right there. So
maybe,
all right,
maybe it's kind of like Insidious, and it'll get better with the sequel.
That's true because Insidious 2 was way better than the first one, even though they didn't have the Tiny Tim singing "Tiptoe Through the Tulips" in the second one.
Or it could just be crappy sequel like a few other movies. I can't list the name of because I don't.
Paranormal Activity.
Maybe, but. Nah, those were just crappy because they were all the same thing. But I'm trying to think. Like, Spider-Man's not really a horror movie, but it's the first Spider-Man in 2000, its sequel sucked.
the sequels, especially 3 when they got too many heroes involved. But that's a different story. Or villains, I mean. So, I don't know. All right, well, that's our view on... Devil's Due. Once again, if you are going to go see it at the Eagle Theater. And if you're not going to go see it, go see another movie there at the Eagle Theater or the Clintonia Eagle. Because
any movie is good.
And that place is really nice. I mean, Robinson didn't realize. We live in a small town. Basically, James Jones, the author.
James Jonah Jameson.
No, James Jones, the author, the guy that wrote From Here to Eternity. He's from this town. And you got Myers Leonard, who plays for the Portland Trail. And he's from this town.
I don't watch basketball.
Neither do I. But he's like 18,000 feet tall. Guy's huge. But I remember pulling in the gas pump when he was a senior in high school, and he was like, 3 or 4 feet above the gas pumps. I'm like, God.
Still not as tall as Shaquille O'Neal.
Well, he might be. But anyway, so he's from this town. It's a small town, but we got cool things happen here. It's where Hershey, or not Hershey, where Heath candy bars were created for crying out loud. So that's what makes this town this town. But it's still a real small town, and we've got this theater that should be in a city easily.
I mean, they keep it clean, at least.
Super clean. And they keep it clean, and the people there are awesome. Shanna is the manager, and I'll tell you what, she does a great job with anybody needing help or anything. She's always eager. So, Shanna, shout out to you. Theater, Robinson Theater, the Robinson Eagle Theater. And I haven't been to the Clintonia. I think we're going to have to make a road trip one time, just go to Clinton, Illinois.
Wasn't that where we saw Equestria Girls, or was that somewhere else?
Where? What?
Equestria Girls?
No, that was in Indianapolis. That was a big city.
I don't even know where Clinton is then.
No, it's somewhere in Illinois.
Clint Eastwood.
So we might have to make a road trip just to check it out. But anyway, that's our view on that, on Devil's Due. We're going to have some more segments of the podcast. We got to kind of pause to record them, and I've got some great ideas that we're going to be working into the podcast. We're going to have experts from many fields coming in. I'm working on getting a comic expert, and I say experts, basically that's something that they like to talk about, we'll put it that way. And we're going to get Eric coming in later on here in this podcast talking about television shows. And that's as long as technology works with us. I got a problem going on with my tablet computer, so we'll have to see what happens with that. Anything else you want to talk about before we take a little bit of a break?
Well, we all plan on reading our own comics and doing a review.
Yeah, that's something we should bring that up now. And Brandon's going to we'll bring it up with Brandon as well when we get him on there. And we'll bring it up with Eric when we get him. But we're going to start a new thing where every week we're going to read a comic and recap the comic.
That's probably going to be, Spider-Man story-based. Mine's probably going to be more of a Carnage comic-based.
Well, that's the thing. We're going to pick out one, and then each week we'll talk about it. And it can be anything from a new comic to, a past historical comic.
That we can't spoil at all, because pretty much everyone who will listen to this podcast has probably read it.
Yeah. That'll be better when you're doing the old comics. But, we'll still spoil them. But we're going to do a complete recap of the storyline and then talk about what we thought of it. And we'll go back even to some classic ones, like maybe Amazing Fantasy number 15. Hey, you know what happened there, don't you?
Yeah, I the poster is right behind me. I mean, I can't see it, but it's behind me.
The first Spider-Man, right? So we'll, who knows? We'll just pick a comic. I have a feeling that Brandon will, actually, he's wanting to catch up on they ended the Ultimate Comics Spider-Man with Miles as the Spider-Man.
Miles is cool.
And they're also ending Venom pretty soon. And I said something wrong last podcast. I said he's going to be in Guardians of the Galaxy. Actually, I meant Thunderbolts. He's going to be on Thunderbolts.
Oh, yeah.
Still another space-based comic book where they go.
You mean the one with Ghost Rider and Deadpool?
No, that's... I can't remember that one.
I think that was Thunderbolts, and you're probably just kidding.
Was it Thunderbolts? Wrong. Yeah, it might have been Thunderbolts, yeah.
Because Agent Venom was in it, too.
That might have been it. But it's going to be that series that they're going to move him into. So, they're also getting ready to bring back Amazing Spider-Man, Peter Parker. I saw the news, so hopefully that'll be good. And also, upcoming podcasts, we're going to be talking with the authors of several sci-fi books and stuff. So we got all sorts of plans going on. So
he says we, but he probably means just himself, because I don't really read books.
You're going to read comics now, so I'm going to force you that. So in the meantime, we're going to take a little bit of a break, come back with, I'm guessing Eric will be the next, and we'll talk about television programs and all the cool things that Eric has to contribute. So don't go nowhere. In fact, it'll probably take just seconds where you are right now. It'll take a little while for me, though.
Wibbly wobbly timey wimey stuff.
Yeah. Nerd up. All right, here we go on the next segment of the podcast. We're going to focus mainly on television this time. I mean, I'm sure we're going to stray here and there, but that's quite all right. But we're bringing in a new member of the Nerd Up podcast crew. A big warm welcome to Eric Billingsley. If this was a live audience, Eric, you'd be getting a round of applause right now. So,
thank you.
So, Eric Billingsley, he's going to be joining us. We're going to I wouldn't say expertise, because that makes it sound too professional or something, and we don't want to be professional. We just want to have fun. he's going to be focusing on television for us on the Nerd Up podcast. Basically, I know Eric from back in my college days. Eric and I were both theater majors at Southern Illinois. You were a theater major, right?
Well, yeah, I started off as a minor and then wound up being a major, yeah. I was a R&T major for a little while there, but for like one semester.
Well, see, I started out as a theater minor also, radio and television, but I actually turned it into a double major, so because, I didn't want to leave yet.
I don't even know what you guys are talking about.
Well, one of these days when you get in college, you'll learn. So
don't say that, it scares me.
But so Eric was a theater. I did sound design for. I think that's how we first met. I did sound design for a play in which you played Satan. Remember that?
Right. Yeah. Wild Asses of the Devil.
That's exactly it. And so I think that's when we first met, because that was like one of my first sound design projects. We may have known each other from the green room there at the theater department, but. That's when we actually worked together first time, and then we just became, like everybody in the theater department, everybody became big friends, and everybody knew each other, and You know, we had each other's backs back then. So that's how I know Eric. And Eric, you are now, what are you doing with yourself?
Well, I'm still living in Southern Illinois. Well, after kind of a circuitous route, lived in California for a few years and Chicago for a few years. And right now I'm back in Southern Illinois, kind of back where I started.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just working a job.
Okay.
Now I won't go into too many details about that.
Right.
But I write for a blog. It's redroompodcast.com.
Mm-hmm.
And it's named after the Red Room from Twin Peaks. The two fellows who run the website and do the act. They have their own podcast, which is hosted on that site. It's Scott Ryan and Joshua Minton, two guys from Ohio. That are big fans of television, and I had started off looking for a podcast to, you know, get my podcast fix of television, and found that there really isn't much out there. And I found these guys and started listening to them, and started sending them emails and commenting on their podcast, and they asked me to start blogging for their site. So I've been blogging for them for a little less than a year now.
That's one of the things that got me to say, hey, Eric would be great on the Nerd Up podcast, because I read one of your recent blogs, and I'm like, the depth you show really is in your writing about television is really more than people really need to do. I mean,
I've got a lot of time on my hands.
There you go. Well, see, I always thought, and I still kind of do, that television is pretty much a wasteland, especially with all these reality, non-reality shows. And I've always thought, man, people spend too much time with television. But you talk about the smart parts of television, which happens to be some of my favorites as well. And so you hit on some of the subjects, and I'm like, that'd be perfect for the podcast. So now that's it. You're now with the podcast. Now, I want to mention, you're in a play right now, aren't you?
Yeah, I do. I try to stay busy doing shows. There's a community theater back in Carbondale that I've been involved with since I was a student over there. And I'm doing a show right now, Neil Simon play called Last of the Red Hot Lovers. And so we're in the middle of rehearsals on that, which is pretty grueling.
Yeah, imagine so. So you still stay with your theater route, your theater roots, I should say. I haven't done much theater since leaving Carbondale, but radio, television, my other major, that's all I've been doing. So, well, all right, Eric. We're here to talk about television, not just about us, although we can talk about us forever. Well, let's see here. One of the things you struck me is when I was reading your blog entry is that, you look at the storylines of television and TV series. One of the things we've talked about before is that the television series, and you mentioned this in your blog, the ones that have the good writing are also the ones that have one big story to tell rather than, little short, one episode is a full story. In fact, I can tell you my first experience with this, besides the Twin Peaks, was Babylon 5. And I think that's also one of your favorites as well. But J. Michael Straczynski. Yeah, J. Michael Straczynski, he just knew how to tell one big story, but he knew how to cut it up and to keep everybody tuning in week by week. But that's one of the things that attracted me. What are you watching this year right now that's on your TV list?
Well, I've got a ton of shows I'm watching right now. And I mean, we could sit here and I could just give a list of things I'm watching and take up the entire hour. But since you're going to have me back that seems to be the case if I don't scare everyone off. Well, I'll save a few for each week. And but I'll tell you right now, And just to go and elaborate a little more about the blog, which if anyone wants to check it out, it's at redroompodcast.com, and the name of it is long-term storytelling, how it's a gamble for television networks as well as viewers.
Mm-hmm.
And I do go into detail about most of the shows that I watch are continuing storylines. They're serialized,
right?
And I kind of just briefly go over some of the history of that and how this is relatively new. At least the number of shows that follow that format are fairly new. Mm-hmm. And then there's of course the the standard episodic form, which has been the traditional television show, and those you can pretty much put on shuffle play and it wouldn't make any difference because there is no continuing storyline. There's nothing stretching from one episode to the other. You know, not to knock that, it's fine, but it's for, to me, that's like short attention span theater. It's yeah. for people that don't want to get too involved with the storyline. They want some noise in the background. And that kind of goes for sitcoms, too. And I know a lot of people love sitcoms. I just don't want to waste my time with that because there's no payoff.
Right, exactly. Yeah, one of the things...
storytelling, yeah. it's an investment. But the reward that you get at the end, it potentially can be really grand. And you mentioned Babylon 5, mm-hmm. and that's kind of the granddaddy of them for me because he really did raise or set the bar so high with that show that it just, even to this day, it's you know, it's something that I go on and on about to people, and they just kind of look at me strangely because people nowadays, a lot of them have never even heard of Babylon 5.
Yeah, yeah, and that's a sad thing because they could have gone on forever with little episodic, you know, like Star Trek was, you know, episodic.
Right.
But he had a story to tell. He told a story. He was done. And, I mean, yep. I think, what was the one they tried, like the sequel to that they tried to come out with?
Crusader.
Crusader, that's it, exactly.
Yeah.
And that one didn't go very far because I pretty much think he didn't have a story to tell. He was done.
Yeah, and that one was more traditionally episodic. Although mm-hmm. the first season of Babylon 5, or at least the first 8 or 10 episodes, pretty much were self-encapsulated, but if you go back and watch them after having watched the series, you see that he is planting the seeds of the shadows
yeah.
and the other storylines. You just don't pick up on it when you're watching it first because you think it's a throwaway, but it's
right.
really, you know, he's really leading into something. But
yeah.
it was really interesting the way that he did start off with the episodic form, and then slowly he kind of transitioned to the serialized form, and by the you know, middle of the second or third season, you know, they still had the one-off episode every now and then, but pretty much he was on the one track for, you know, a continuing storyline from episode to episode.
Yeah, I can remember one of the so-called one-off episodes that had Penn and Teller starring in it, and I thought that was, was one of the best. It's funniest, but it, you know, it really didn't have much to do with the whole series, but they had that in there just to keep people that didn't like the long-form story. I think that's why they threw those in every once in a while. But yeah, well, J. Michael Straczynski, you probably know this, but he wrote for Spider-Man comics for a while,
mm-hmm.
and yeah. that he used that same thing. And one of the things I kept hearing was like, well, when are they going to get to the end of the story? Well, hang on, it's going to be good. Just stick around. And that's what he did with the Spider-Man. He just kept telling one big story, and it wasn't comic book issue by comic book issue. And actually, that changed a lot of the way some of the comics are written today. Now they have freeform, well, you know, where there's one story to go, and they tell it in each issue, and it takes about a year or so to tell it. So I think he kind of changed that in comic books too. So
like the guy from Game of Thrones, just wait, it's gonna be here real cool.
Yeah,
it's cool. It'll be here soon.
Yeah, Game of Thrones is another example. Then actually, the book is what it was first, but people don't realize that yet. So, yeah, don't worry, it'll be cool. Just hang on. Let's see here. So based on this, that's what I like about television is when you can get a story like that. Like we'd mentioned, we talked about Battlestar Galactica, another one of those.
Yes.
You could take, for example, Lost. Lost was, I could not get into Lost in the first couple seasons. I got bored. But when they ended it, I went through and got every single episode, watched them all back to back, and oh my gosh, I kicked myself for not watching it when it was on, you know, on the TV. I was like, oh, man, that was such a great story. But let's see, Twin Peaks back in the 90s. I'm trying to think of a few more. Of course, you got, you know, Breaking Bad and Walking Dead. And, you know, you got all these good stories. So TV's full of them now, but they weren't so much then. And thanks
because they've proven themselves to be profitable now. The studios know. And the thing is and I mentioned this in the blog, too, is that the networks are kind of slow to the table, but you can't be too judgmental about them because they're getting all of their revenue from the advertisers. And of course, advertisers are very picky, finicky types, and they want to please everyone 100% of the time, which we all know is impossible.
Right.
And they don't want to offend anyone. But, you know, the networks were sitting back watching all of their viewers gradually going, over to Cable because Cable had these great storylines, and Cable could take a chance because they only got part of their money from advertising and the rest was subscription. So they had a little more room to play, and they could do riskier things like Breaking Bad or Walking Dead. And if it didn't go over, it wasn't going to bring the net. It wasn't going to bring their company down.
Right.
They just trash it and go on to the next thing.
Right. Exactly. And yet they took that gamble, and well, look at the ratings for Walking Dead alone. You know,
yep.
The next season, everybody in the world seemed like they tuned in. So yeah,
sure.
It's paying off, and I'm hoping more and more do it. And actually, we're talking about this. There's the new series on, I think it's on NBC. I can't remember what network has it, but it's the one with James Spader, The Blacklist.
The Blacklist, yes. One of my current favorites.
Is it? Mine too. And the thing, first of all, James Spader is awesome in this, and I was worried about that. Because I remember him from Less Than Zero, and I'm like, what a dick.
But, I've been watching him since I was a kid.
Yeah. And now he's doing, but I watched it because of him. But they've got a one big story they're telling. Now, they are breaking it up, you know, kind of like solving the crime at the end of the 60-minute, but at the same time, you can tell there's another story underneath it.
Yeah, and I call those arcing episodic. I'm sure there's probably a more technical name for them.
Mm-hmm.
But Almost Human is another one like that, that they have – every episode is kind of self-encapsulated. It has a beginning, middle, and end, and they have usually a case or a storyline that just goes through that one episode. But there's also connective tissue that connects it through to the next episode and the next and the next, and there is character growth mm-hmm. from the first episode – throughout. And in the case of The Blacklist, you've got all of these unanswered questions, these mysteries that are going on between, you know, James Spader's character and the young, pretty FBI agent that is the only one he will work with. And I mean, it looks like, well, I don't know. Are we supposed to discuss spoilers here?
Sure. Why not? Yeah. We can do that. Especially when it comes to television, because if they're not watching it by now, they need to be anyway. So yeah, heck yeah.
Well, you know, I mean, it looks like he's probably her father, but he denies it, and there's still some plausible deniability there. But most of the signs seem to be pointing to the fact that he is her father. How that's going to wind up playing out is going to be very interesting because she can't stand him.
Right.
But I think she is starting to develop some respect for him in some ways, in a weird way.
Well, I got a question for you. I haven't been up to date. I got it on my DVR that I got to watch. Plus, I got some that I missed that I got to watch on demand. But what's the deal with her husband? I missed that whole line altogether.
That's another one of those continuing mystery storylines that you're not sure what to make of him. At one point, it seemed like he was definitely some sort of undercover assassin that had been purposely placed as her husband. But he's his real job is as a school teacher, and it really looked like he was. But then they pulled back and it looks like he might now there's that mystery again. It's like, is he or isn't he? He didn't completely prove his innocence, but they weren't able to make a case that he was guilty either. So she, and you know, since she's married to him, she's trying to give him benefits of the doubt. But, you know, James Spader's character keeps warning her not to trust him. And, he so far has not really steered her wrong. So, you know, it's like, okay, I think most of the audience is kind of watching him with a, you know, from the side saying, okay, you know, this guy, you got to watch him. He's not everything he appears to be.
Yeah. Well, I'll tell you what, the one, it's almost on the verge of creepiness where, you know, it's like, okay, don't trust him. Don't trust me. Don't trust anybody really is what it comes down to. But I like the fact that, and you just hit on it, it's like that's actually two storylines that are developing. I wonder if they're going to merge, and if so, will it be like the whole Darth Vader and Leia and Luke thing? Are they brother and sister?
When they started implying that he was her father, that was the first thing that came to mind. Was I mean, you can't help but think, you know, Luke, I am your father.
right, exactly. And then you're married to your brother? Oh, what? No. So I don't know. Maybe I like to take too much. What's that?
Can I do my Darth Vader voice?
No Darth Vader. Okay, go ahead.
I am your father.
Yeah.
Oh, hey. James Earl Jones.
Yeah, exactly. He's here. Actually, Eric, you got to hear this. My son does a great Morgan Freeman. Isaac, do your Morgan Freeman.
Morgan Freeman is getting real tired of your shenanigans.
So, yeah, he hits me with that one all the time, and I'm like, what? So anyway, I totally sidetracked. See, that's what we do on this podcast is we get sidetracked. So this series, it's got enough. Apparently, it's got enough viewers. Because it is that good. It actually got some nominations for Golden Globes. I don't know if they did win or not.
Good. I'm glad to hear that.
Yeah.
I did hear that it was doing very well in the ratings. So yeah. I am glad to hear that. So that means we can at least look forward to another one or two seasons before NBC, who is notorious for killing good shows before they get a chance to go anywhere.
Yeah.
Anytime a new show premieres on NBC, I'm always debating about, should I even start watching this? Because they will probably cancel it after one season.
Yeah.
That's exactly what they did to one of my favorite shows from a couple of years ago, which was called Awake.
Yes. Oh my God, I love
Jason
that show.
Jason Isaacs.
Yes, I love that show. And then
it
all of a sudden,
so well written.
Yes, and they had a great ongoing story. And all of a sudden, it's like, oh, we're done. It's like, what?
Yeah.
You didn't even end it. So, yeah.
And I understand that they weren't getting the ratings that they wanted, but they had it like on Tuesday night up against some like heavy hitters that already had a built-in audience. They didn't advertise it much, and they certainly didn't advertise it correctly to give an idea of what this really was.
Yeah.
And so they wound up killing it before it ever really got to find its audience, which, you know, reminds me of another show that we all love and mourn, and that's Firefly. You know, another show that was completely mishandled by the network. They had gold in their hands and had no idea what it was that they had.
Yeah,
didn't know how to deal with it, how to advertise it, or how to present it, or how to give it a chance to find its audience. You know, I mean, just imagine if they had given that show another season. That show very well could have proved to be one of their biggest hits ever.
Yeah. And it was a great movie. What I think is interesting, it's got a really big fan base now that it's not on the air, you know?
Oh, yeah. Huge.
And I imagine that they were watching along, and a lot of people are really mad trying to get it back on. So I saw a message board once where Joss Whedon now has Marvel's Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. on TV. Let's bring back Firefly. So give Joss Whedon another chance. So maybe they will. Maybe. If we're lucky. But I don't know. Nathan Fillion's busy with Castle now.
Yeah. Well, Nathan Fillion, though, has been one of the biggest proponents for wanting to bring back Firefly. He even offered to put his own money into it at one point.
Mm-hmm.
Honestly, at this point, since Joss Whedon did Avengers and made a bazillion dollars for the Disney company.
Yeah.
He could pretty much do whatever he wanted to do at this point.
Yep.
But I think that the impression I get is that he's like, you know, the time has passed, too much time has passed since then. He's got other stories he wants to tell. And I don't really blame him, but as a Firefly fan, and like any Firefly fan, I want to see more. I want to see more of those characters.
Yeah.
But he did kill off two of the major characters in Serenity, which I'm not sure if I'll ever forgive him for.
I know. Well, he wanted to bring an end to it somehow because he didn't think networks were ever going to bring it back. So I'm guessing that's why he did that. But did you ever watch the series Farscape?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I've got all the episodes on Blu-ray.
Yeah, that's another one that's they had their cheesy moments in that series. I mean, that's another sci-fi series that they had their cheesy moments, but at the same time, they had a great story. And I think they did the same thing with that. They killed off people because they didn't think it was going to continue. So, or at least, you know, made it to where it seemed like his end. Again, just sidetracked there. Let's see here. Oh, well, did you ever watch Dr. Horrible? Dr. Horrible's blog or what?
Sing-along blog.
Sing-along
blog.
That's it.
Brilliant. Love that. Love that. Whatever you want to call it. Movie, special, musical.
event. An event, I guess.
Event, yeah.
I always liked, if you go back and watch it, there's some funny little bitty, you got to really look for it, Easter eggs, basically, where they mention Firefly or some aspect of Firefly in that. And I thought that was the coolest thing. So, but yeah, that's... I saw that and I'm like, hey, that's kind of cool. Oh, Nathan Fillion. Oh, wait, they just said something about Firefly. So, all right, well, let's. What else do you got on your list that you keep track of that you want to talk about?
We were talking about NBC earlier and about how the networks have been looking at the money that the cable channels have been bringing in with this edgier stuff. Mm-hmm. I mean, like Breaking Bad's a perfect example of that. I mean, before any of this happened, can you imagine a show like Breaking Bad being on a network channel, you know, a guy cooking meth, and, and he's the main character. He's the hero.
Not at all.
Vince Gilligan would not have even gotten a meeting with anyone based on that concept.
True.
But you know, he took it AMC and it grew wings, and it's probably one of the most influential and popular shows ever. I mean, I don't know many people who haven't seen the show, and when I do hear of someone, it's just everyone has the same reaction. It's like, what? You haven't seen Breaking? Oh, get home and get on Netflix and watch that show right now.
Exactly. Well, I got a friend, actually a guy that works at the same radio station with me. He just recently started. I think he just finished season two. And he's constantly asking me, does the DEA agent ever figure out that that's his brother-in-law and that stuff? I'm like, I'm not telling you.
Nope,
you watch it.
Lips are sealed.
Yep. So, yeah. Oh, gosh. And yeah, you're right. Right. I don't think any network would have even, you know, he'd have come in for the presenting it, and they said, there's just no way we can greenlight this anyway, it's not right for television. Yeah. But AMC is known for their taking chances, and even more so, Kevin Smith apparently has got a mini series he's putting together, and it looks like AMC is going to be carrying it. So,
a comic book. Man.
Well, he already has that relationship with them because he does that the comic book store reality thing. That seems like a natural for him to do an actual fiction, a story for them now.
Yeah, and to think Kevin Smith, indie movie maker on television now, that's just kind of blows the mind. But
I mean, that's the thing though, it's like, and that was kind of the jumping off point for the article that I wrote, was that I'm you know, I started off actually at Southern as a film major, and I didn't finish my film degree because you had to finance all of your own costs yourself, and while 8mm was affordable, 16mm was just more money than I had to spend. So I wound up, switching my major to something that I could actually afford to graduate in.
Right.
But my first and foremost love is always going to be film. But at a certain point, I start seeing that television, because with film, unless you're doing, and there are a lot of sequels now where you have a continuing storyline between sequels, but it's very disjointed, and sometimes you've got several years between sequels. Something that television can do that film can't is tell very long extended stories on a regular basis, so that you can actually, gradually develop these characters. You can put in a lot more twists and turns than you can in a 2-hour film.
Right.
So I haven't given up on film. I still love film, but right now it seems to me to be a new golden age for television. And television previously would have never even tried to compete with Hollywood as far as films go, because they just didn't have the money or even the motivation to do it, and they wouldn't have thought that they could have pulled it off. Mm-hmm. Well, it's been proven time and time again now that it can be done, and because of the popularity of shows, of some of these series on television, you're getting big name talent doing television. You mentioned Kevin Smith. J.J. Abrams, started on television, but now he's like geek god, because he's got the reins of the two most popular science fiction franchises ever created, and he's got them both. I mean, it's just unprecedented. But he's still doing television shows, at least he's producing.
Right.
Almost Human is one that he's doing right now, and his co-producers and co-writers from Lost are doing Sleepy Hollow, which is another brilliant show that's on right now, and it's also got a good audience, so I'm happy about that. That's kind of a good segue into one of the shows I just watched this past weekend. It's a new show on HBO called True Detective, and it stars Matthew McConaughey and Woody Harrelson.
Okay.
A series,
Series. Even. I didn't know that.
Yeah, it's only 8 episodes. I don't know if they're planning on trying to do another season, but it's only an 8-episode series, so it's, I guess, an extended mini series, if you want to call it that. But it's still quite a boon for even HBO to net someone like Matthew McConaughey, who is pretty much in every single movie that has come out for the last five
I know,
years.
Right? Yeah. Yeah, I think he's up for an Oscar, by the way, this year, so...
Oh, I wouldn't be surprised. I mean, that's the thing, too, is, I mean, he's, of all the movies he's doing, they're almost all critically acclaimed.
Right.
The guy knows how to pick a script.
Yeah.
In fact, I just saw him in Mud. Have you seen that?
No, I have not.
Very good movie. It's a kind of a coming-of-age film, kind of like a modern-day Tom Sawyer, but... He's just very good in that role, and I mean, I have no complaints about anything he's ever done that I've seen him in. But it, just the fact that he's committed to doing this series for HBO is pretty impressive. And I mean, I've only seen the first episode, but it's shaping up to be very interesting. In some ways, you mentioned Twin Peaks. It's not got any of the weirdness that David Lynch brought to Twin Peaks, but it's that kind of story, you know.
Yeah.
These two cops investigating a ritualistic murder.
Okay.
And everything kind of balloons out from there.
Yeah. Well, that, you know, it just reminded me, there's another series out that Kevin Bacon is in that I forget the name of it because I don't watch it.
The Following.
The Following, yes, there you go. That's another one of those that it looks like network TV is taking a chance on. It's got a continuous story.
Oh, yeah.
So
yeah, it's a pretty risky. It's very, very violent. And I'm watching it.
Mm-hmm.
I watched the first season. I'm still not sure how I feel about it yet. I doubted even when I first heard the premise how sustainable it was. I mean, you know, it's a FBI agent a former FBI agent who's trying to hunt down this serial killer that he had put away once and who escaped.
Right.
And they had a relationship with the same woman. So they've got this weird kind of tie in there.
Yeah.
And this serial killer has all these people who basically worship him as a god
mm-hmm.
and kill for him constantly.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, I mean, how long is an audience willing to sit by and watch? I mean, literally every week, you know, innocent people get slaughtered.
Yeah.
And, you know, maybe they might get one of the low-ranking members of this cult. They might manage to catch one of them or kill one of them, but it's nothing compared to the number of innocent people that are getting killed every week, and it gets a little frustrating, you know?
Yeah, yeah. Well, and plus, like you said, the
guy's a sick puppy.
Yeah, and you're right, exactly. How long can the audience stand that? I mean, there's just so much that's like, okay, hold on. That's really one of the reasons why I kind of stopped watching that one is like, dang, people are getting killed, you know, a lot. So, yeah, and then did you ever watch the series Cult on CW?
No. Oh, Cult, yes. Actually, I did. I watched most of it until I heard that it got canceled.
Yeah.
And I was like, well, what's the point in watching the rest of the episodes? They had, a hiatus.
Yeah.
And I just stopped watching when they went in there after the hiatus because I was like, well, what's the point?
Yeah, I should have because they ended it like, it was, again, like any other series that gets canceled that starts out good, they just end it like, okay, let's wrap it up right real quick. Like, well, another example, Life on Mars. Did you ever see the American version of that?
No, I haven't seen either version. It's been on my list to watch.
Watch the British version. It's awesome. And then the sequel to it, which was Ashes to Ashes. But they're both awesome. But the American version, I mean, gosh, they had great actors. I mean,
mm-hmm.
and everything was going great, and then ABC canceled it, and they made the final episode most totally horrific, awful writing, just totally had nothing to do with the story ending, and it was like, it was horrible. I was so mad, but luckily BBC had the original version, which turns out to be pretty darn good, and then again they did a sequel to it, so that's how good it was. I guess you'd call it a sequel, but
I think I've got it in my Netflix queue.
Yeah.
I've got it probably about 50 shows in my queue that I'll probably never get around to watching, but that one is one that I definitely want to see. But I keep dancing around this. I keep wanting to get to this. The speaking of, in relation to The Following, and we were talking about NBC's history with series. There, it hasn't started back up with their second season yet, but I wanted to get in a accolade for the series Hannibal.
Okay. Yeah.
Now but like most people, I'm a fan. I really liked Silence of the Lambs, and I like Manhunter, which was you know, made by Michael Mann years before Silence of the Lambs was made. And of course, it didn't star Anthony Hopkins. It was Brian Cox's Hannibal Lecter, who did a very, very different take on it. No less valid, but certainly not as big as right. Anthony Hopkins' character was. So it's you know, it's a little less known. Not as many people have seen it. And it is very dated the lighting and the 80s costume, the 80s fashions that they're wearing is just like really stands out. But, you know, that stuff aside, it's very much worth watching. And have you ever read the books by
yes, I have. By
Thomas Harris?
Right. Yeah. Okay. All of them.
I read at least two of them. Before I even saw Silence of the Lambs. And I, you know, like I said, I liked the movie a lot. There was a lot that was different from the book, but, you know, I was okay with that. Mm-hmm. What Hannibal does, and which it is actually co-written by Thomas Harris, mm-hmm. Which explains the fidelity to the story. And it's not so much fidelity to the actual book, although there's a lot of stuff that's in the book that is in the series. Mm-hmm. But obviously, as a series, there's going to be a lot more there that wasn't in the book. And, you know, it's a lot more protracted than any of the movies or the books were. But it's much truer to the characters that Thomas Harris wrote. The thing about Will Graham, you know, who is the protagonist from Manhunter, which was remade as Red Dragon by right. that horrible hack of a director, Brett Ratner.
Really? Tell me how you really feel about that.
And actually, I mean, the movie itself was okay, but in a director's hands who was not a total hack, it could have actually been a lot better.
Right.
But the character of Will Graham is a profiler, a mm-hmm. special agent profiler for the FBI. And he's not just any profiler because the guy is teetering on the edge of instability. And this right. is his preoccupation throughout the book is that he is scared that he is just one step away from becoming the serial killers that he hunts down. They dance around that in the movies, but they never really come at it full force, which they do in the series. I mean, Will Graham, who is a very sympathetic character, you really feel for the guy, but you're also very scared of the guy because you believe that he really is, you know, dancing that on the edge of that razor blade. Mm-hmm. And he, you know, at many times blacks out, has episodes, and he is diagnosed as being borderline schizophrenic, I believe.
Okay.
And the thing is he doesn't he is very reluctant at the job that he does, and his boss Jack Crawford, which in the series is played by Morpheus.
Lawrence Fishburne,
yes. And great casting. I mean, mm-hmm. Lawrence Fishburne is so good in this role. Everyone in this series is so good in their role. It's amazing. Mm-hmm. But he's very ruthless in a lot of ways, and he will push Will Graham past his limits in order to get these killers off the street, knowing that by pushing Will Graham, he may completely snap the guy's psyche, but he's willing to do that in the sake of his job. So there's a lot of really interesting interactions. Now, I'm careful about who I recommend this show to for one simple reason. It is the most graphically violent show that I've ever seen on almost any, even cable channels, let alone network television.
Right.
When I saw this, I could not believe that NBC had greenlit this show. And as a matter of fact, there were NBC affiliates in Utah that absolutely refused to show it, or they would time shift it to air at like 1 o'clock or 2 o'clock in the morning. Now that doesn't happen very often.
Wow, I didn't realize that.
Yeah, and you really do need a strong stomach. I mean, it's very graphically violent, and they don't shy away from this stuff. But that is part of the books. I mean, you read the book, so you know what I mean. It's very that violence, that intense violence, has to be there, or the stakes don't feel as high as they should, and they definitely feel very high in this story. So. If anyone's listening and, you know, the first season's available on Blu-ray, which I bought, happily. I would buy it again. I want to support this show. I'm scared to death that NBC is going to take it off the air because the ratings have not been that good. Hmm. But it's the way that they have produced the show is in a partnership with some European companies. Mm-hmm. So NBC is not footing the entire cost for this. They're being subsidized by these other production companies. And this is a fairly new type deal. There's another show, I think it's also on NBC. What is it? It's an international cop show. It's William Fichtner is in it. Crossing Borders.
Okay. I have not heard of that one yet, so.
It's good. It's good. I don't know how long it'll last either, but it's a very interesting story because you've got all these international cops, all these cops from different countries who are investigating crimes that, like in the United States, crimes that cross the state border are investigated by the FBI because they can't be, you know, there's the jurisdiction of state police and state investigators are just for that state. Well, as you know, in Europe, they've got all these little countries that are like, you know, the size of some of our states. And so it's very easy for a criminal to cross from one border into another.
Right.
And they have no way of investigating that, apparently, or at least not collectively. They have Interpol, but Interpol is more of a database for police. They're not so much active investigators. So this is a group of international cops who are under the jurisdiction of the international court. And they investigate these cases. Anyway, it's worth checking out. It's not a great show, but it's definitely interesting, and it's got some good actors in it. And it was also financed by this kind of conglomeration of American and European financiers.
Ah.
So I don't know if this is kind of the shape of things to come, but anyway, definitely give the Hannibal a chance if
definitely.
You've got the stomach.
Well, I caught a couple of episodes, and the only thing is, that's one of the reasons why I brought you in on this blog or this podcast is because I don't have the time. and
I know.
And it's like, see, I try to focus my time on, other nerdy things, comic books and books in general. And so I thought, you know, if we bring in several more experts in different areas, you know, this will come out. In fact, I'm going to maybe try to slough off some of my comic books and try to get another person to come and talk comics with me. So
nerd.
So we'll see. We'll see what happens. But, yeah, that's one of the reasons why I brought you here, because you watch more television than I have, because I try to, but not I never get everything I want to watch. So,
and I don't watch television.
And on top of that, Somehow I still find time to eke out for video games, too. So I don't know how I managed to do it. But
cool. Well, we'll definitely be talking about those quite often as well.
Those are my segments.
Yeah, that's where Isaac comes in. He's the gamer. So, yeah, he's the gamer. I'm the comic and comics and books. And
you're the Marvel comics and books. Brandon's the DC comics.
Yeah, this other guy, the Brandon that also hosts, he does more DC than I do. Although I've got him into the Marvel universe now, so... although I have been branching out in the DC, so that we're working out well. So now I've got a TV person that we can chat about TV. And whenever you do discuss ones that I'm watching, we'll definitely have a, I wouldn't say a debate, but a definitely, good sharing of ideas of what these shows are doing. So,
well, I don't want to stretch this out too long, but I did want to talk about one show that I'm pretty sure that you guys both watch.
Okay.
I'm sure you do, because we mentioned it before the show. Game of Thrones.
Oh, yes, yes.
I don't watch it, but I've heard of it.
Yeah, I won't let Isaac watch it, but...
yeah, I understand why. And there's a really
South
funny
Park explained.
Saturday Night Live sketch that I just watched someone pointed out to me that is very, very, very apt. It's you just look for Saturday Night Live, King of Thrones, and you'll be able to find it online. It's worth watching. But...
Did you see the episode, the South Park, actually a couple of episodes where they made South Park into a Game of Thrones over the video console wars?
No, I've been hearing about it, but I haven't actually watched an episode of South Park in a long time, but I want to watch that.
One segment where they sit there, and I think it's Butters, who sits there, I don't see why people watch this. It's nothing but floppy wieners. And it's like, oh my gosh, he pretty much hit it on the nose, but then some. But yeah, that's...
There is an extraordinary amount of sex and nudity in the show.
That's why it's on HBO.
There's another scene where they're at George R. R. Martin, is his name?
Yeah, George R. R. Martin. Yeah, they're at his house, and George R.R. Martin is not well represented on South Park. I'll put it that way. So, but
he's
anyway,
an odd character. Sure.
Yeah. Well, yeah. Well, first of all, the before we go, yeah, we're going to talk about this Game of Thrones. Before we get into it, I mean, people have heard me talking about books constantly on this podcast, and that's one of the things. I read the first book, and I mean, it's a great collection. And it's so funny because, like, the end of the last season, you know, where the big surprise ending, I'll let you spoil it, the big surprise ending, everybody heard, you know, you saw on Facebook everybody posting, oh my God, I can't believe they killed, you know, whatever, and, you know, each time. And
Reigns of Castamere.
Yeah. And it's like, I saw a meme that was out, is like, you're complaining about the deaths. Oh, you're at that part of the book now. So, but yeah, it's like having read the book, I'm like, I knew what was going to happen. And, you know, HBO, sure, they had their, you know, artistic license and changed a few things here and there, little things. Not too badly, though. But anyway, it's like, I saw the first two, well, first season for sure. I think I got into the second season. And I was like, well, I know what's going to happen, but I love watching what they do with it. So, let's hear you. What do you got to say about Game of Thrones here?
Well, it's absolutely my favorite show of many years now. I get so into watching this, and I you know, even though, yes, it's got all this gratuitous nudity, I don't mind the nudity. Trust me, I don't. but it does seem a little awkward at times, like that, you know, my friend Tim Coker just pointed out the other day online that, you know, it's he's the one that told me about the SNL sketch. And okay. He says it's like a, you know, it's like a 13-year-old boy is like their consultant and has, like, you know, is determined to put, you know, boobs in every single shot.
Yeah.
And, you know, yeah, I can see that. And at times I have actually been distracted by those boobs and to the point to where I had to rewind because I completely missed what the dialogue that was going on.
I think Deadpool wrote it.
Yeah. Well, I think so.
And, but even with that aside, you know, I would like to see, I don't want to see, you know, it cleansed, but I would like to see a little more subtlety to it and maybe, you know, less in your face.
Yeah. Yeah.
Cause like I said, it can be a little distracting, and there's just, and you know, I don't want to get off on this tangent, but there's all these absolute prudes that just are up in arms about it. And, you know, I just don't understand how you'd be that upset about it. You know, you can say, okay, well, I find that a little distasteful, but to get so upset about it, it's just like, okay, if you have that big a problem with, like, a naked body, you must have a hell of a time bathing.
But yeah, there's some people that do take it to that extreme. So, yeah.
Yeah.
But yeah. But
anyway, go ahead.
Go ahead.
I think the show is brilliant. I mean, it really does work on so many levels, and there's so many characters, and they're all so complex that there are very few characters that are 100% evil and a very few that are 100% good. They're all very much shades of gray in between.
Yeah.
Even the patriarch of I can't remember the name of the family.
Lannister.
Lannister.
Yeah.
Yes. Who's played by Charles Dance, a brilliant actor, and I'm so glad they cast him in that part. And he can be just the biggest bastard you've ever seen in your life. But at the same time, he's a human being. So he is capable of acts of kindness and has in the past because he is a human being. He's not all one color. Now, Joffrey is an evil SOB.
Yeah.
He has no personality whatsoever, and I'm hoping that they do kill him off sometime in the next season or two. Because, I mean, he's not the real villain. He, you know, his grandfather is.
Right.
But he is a good focal point to get people, you know, livid about the show and say, oh, God, I hate that, that Joffrey kid. I hope he dies a horrible, horrible death.
His head will be on
a
pike.
But he's not the real. He's more of a blunt instrument than he is a character. Most of the other characters are not like that. So, you know, you have these very differing personality types. And I mean, of course, most people say their favorite character is Tyrion Lannister, and I'm among them.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you know, Peter Dinklage is just, I mean, it's just a marriage made in heaven. I'm so glad they found this actor, and I'm so glad that this actor found this role, because he is so good in it.
Yeah.
And, you know, I'm glad to see someone, because, I mean, if you're someone of his height, you have very little options as far as an acting career, and most of the roles that you will be taking are going to be humiliating. Yeah. And,
well,
and,
I did,
you know, one shots at the best.
I just recently, well, during the holiday season, rewatched Elf, you know, the Will Ferrell movie, you know, he's in that. Mm-hmm. And the whole, what, I can't watch him the same anymore after seeing him in this. I'm like, I was like, he was supposed to, you know, he was like this big idea man. And of course, Will Ferrell being the idiot elf, he said, "Are you an elf?" And he just kicked his butt totally. And I'm like, "Wow, that's you know, it was just so different than the whole Game of Thrones." So
Peter Dinklage and it's Game of Thrones.
What?
Peter Dinklage.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah. But...
See, there's the 13-year-old aspect coming in. So yeah, so but anyway.
But I did see the new trailer for the new season, and that's just got me all excited again. And I'm like, oh, God, you know, April 6th can't get here soon enough.
Mm-hmm.
And so I've just been basically going on online and on YouTube and looking and reading anything that has anything at all to do with Game of Thrones. And a friend of mine posted a link on my Facebook page for a YouTube video that was put together by I don't know if you've heard it. They do a series of things called Epic Rap Battles of History. Have you ever seen those?
I've seen a few.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, I think it's the same people that do that. But this one is so much on another level from those. This thing was really well produced, and it's got great lyrics. And actually, the people doing the rapping are really good.
Mm-hmm.
But it's called, if you know, I urge everyone to look it up. If you're a Game of Thrones fan, you will love this. It's Game of Thrones Ultimate Birthday Rap Battle.
Okay. All right, I'll be checking that one out
on YouTube.
I'll be checking that one out.
Yeah, it's very, very good. In fact, I listened to the song in my car. Like, I probably listened to it a dozen times, like in the last few days, just because I love it that much. But in particular, the guy who does Jon Snow is very good. But the one that blows everyone out of the water is the girl who does Daenerys.
Okay.
Targaryen. She just owns this thing. She says, like, in an interview I saw later, that she's not, you know, she doesn't think she's a good rapper. This is the first time she's ever rapped. I was like, you got to be kidding me, because she is so fast and she doesn't miss a beat, and she has just the perfect attitude. And see it and let me know what you think.
All right, I'll be watching. Really love it. All right, Isaac's he's watched several of the other rap battles that they've done.
Not several, I've only watched a few.
Several, you know, semantics. But anyway, so he's shown me a few, and I'm like, these are pretty darn good, the way they put them together. So, I'll look for that one. So, well, I'll tell you what, Eric, we're running out of time here.
Yeah.
So, I'll tell you what, probably sometime next week we'll call you again. We'll talk, so be ready to watch your television and give us the recap of what happened. So
I will have lots more to talk about.
Good, because I'm sure we'll continue this until eternity, and even during the rerun season of the summer. Well, I guess that's when Game of Thrones will be on. So, we'll have that.
Right, and then, you know, and I've got tons of Netflix shows to watch too. So
there you go, exactly. All right, so once again, Eric Billingsley joining the Nerd Up podcast. That's the first one. We'll talk to him again next time. And now we got to take a little bit of a break, and we will come back and talk with Brandon and Isaac. We're going to talk about comic books, video games, and whatever else.
This is
going
to be a long podcast.
www.gilwilson.com.
If you need quality voice work for your radio commercials, audio for TV commercials, or maybe just for that message on hold for your business, you need to check out
www.gilwilson.com.
GILWILSON.com. www.gilwilson.com. Check it out. It's quirky. It's fun. It's innovative.
Well, it's time for the final, we actually got segments of this show, final segment of the Nerd Up podcast. Now we got Brandon joining us. How you doing, Brandon?
I'm fine.
So you're all ready to move into a new place, I hear?
Yes, I am.
That'd be good to finally get settled down and get on with your comic book reading. That's it.
Yes, exactly. My stack is growing big at Vision Comics right now.
So. All right. Well, let's see here. We're going to talk about this time around. We'll talk more about comic books on this because that seems to be what we like to talk about on the between Brandon and I. And let's see, we just talked with Eric Billingsley. By the way, Brandon, you haven't heard it yet, but when you listen to the podcast back, Eric's going to be giving us a great insight on television shows, especially the nerdy ones. And so that's going to be a great segment to add on to the podcast. Also, cool new equipment, so everything's sounding a whole lot better.
Oh, yeah.
I'm liking that. Now, the last podcast, it was all right, but this one I think is even getting better. And so as the equipment grows, so does the podcast. So,
hey, and practice makes perfect, so each one of these will do. You know,
this will be episode number 22, so hopefully we got enough practice in. Well, let me give you a little shout-out about the equipment I'm using here. First of all, we're Skyping. We got the connection here, but I'm running it through a little mixing board, USB mixing board from Tascam. It's the US-366, and basically it connects to the computer through USB, and we can have, like, four inputs if I really wanted to tax this thing. It's got XLR. It's got regular headphone jack type. And then you can got digital outputs. You got, oh man, it's just phenomenal what we can do with it. And so I'm testing this baby out, and it looks like it's really working great for us, and makes us sound good too. Especially now that we can boost the Skype. Last week I couldn't boost the Skype up enough, and now I figured out how to do that. So now you're going to be louder, Brandon.
Cool.
Brandon louder may not be a good thing. All right, so all right, let's get on with the comic books. I got to say, I have got caught up, finally, with Superior Spider-Man, and now you're planning on catching up with that one, right?
Yes, I am.
Okay, well, I'm going to give you a little bit of a spoiler. You might hate me for it, but...
Can't hate you for it.
Well, Venom comes in, Agent Venom, woo-hoo! And Agent Venom comes in, and the Venom symbiote leaves Agent Venom and latches onto Superior Spider-Man to become the Superior Venom.
Oh, well, who didn't see that coming? Come on.
And it is awesome, I'm telling you. And the thing is, he says something when Venom latches onto him. He's got a quote in there that says, "Old host tastes bad." So he recognized that, the old host being Peter Parker. But when he says tastes bad, you kind of wonder, is he referring to it's the Doc Ock? Because, the symbiote latches on mentally and physically. So,
well, yeah.
So it's like, ooh, that's going to be interesting. We'll see what happens there. But last one, he says, now that I have the Venom, I'm going to fight crime. I got to bring the attention. And he has all his spider bots go out and say, any crime you find, let me know. And I will. He goes, I got to get public attention. And even like someone texting while driving, he pulls them out of their car as the Venom, Super Venom, or Superior Venom, and I'm like, that's a bit too much.
Oh, man.
And so they're gearing up. I'm guessing they're going to end the Superior Spider-Man run, especially if they bring back Amazing Spider-Man, which they've already announced they're going to do. Thank you for letting me know about that one, because that made my day, Brandon.
Yeah, you're welcome.
I was like,
hey, I think they still got a little more in the Superior Spider-Man run, because I have a preview magazine for Marvel that I picked up at Vision the other day when I was there.
Mm-hmm.
It has a Goblin War coming up in it.
Yeah, that's one thing that's been building up in it. I don't know who's behind the Green Goblin right now, but he's gathering all the goblins that have ever been in the Marvel world, and tell there's going to be coming up.
Looks like he's getting a bunch of thugs too to just put on goblin masks.
Yeah. So, and that's one of the things that's been building up in the recent issues, and he's been getting together. He reprogrammed Dr. Spider-Puss's robots to where they can't. Anytime there's a goblin, they go away and they don't report it. So just the sim and all his thugs have like tattoos of a goblin. And so if they recognize the face or the tattoo, they don't report it. And so they've been under the radar.
Huh.
So that's turning out to be pretty good. Really good. So, you're gonna love it. Now, I haven't yet read the Superior Carnage run.
I'll check that out too.
Yeah, that one, that one looks like it's pretty cool. I think they're up to issue number 7, I think. I don't know. I'll have to look. I haven't checked on that for a while, but that one's my next one. Also, your favorite, Ultimate Spider-Man, Miles Morales.
Yes.
Okay. Yeah, as a Spider-Man, that one ended.
Yeah, I didn't know that one ended back in October.
Yeah, that's what happens when we kind of take time off, I guess.
Yeah.
But I've got them all ready to go, and I'm gonna run through those straight through.
Yeah, I just read issue 23 mm-hmm. and 20. It was 23 and 24, I think, because I had a refresh there yeah. where I left off.
Well,
and
yeah.
It was after a Venom attack and some stuff had went down, but I don't want to spoil too much.
Well, I'm going to read it, and it's going to we'll be talking about that one for sure, because that was a good run. Now, you and I were talking before we started the podcast. Looks like they could be doing some kind of a Spider-Men run. They've got
another one that would actually be kind of cool.
Yeah, and that Miles, I don't know whether I don't think they killed him. I mean, that'd be kind of foolish if they did, but they also have Spider-Man 2099 in the recent Superior Spider-Man. He can't go back to 2099. He's stuck in modern time, and they could team up him, and then also, who knows what they're going to do with Superior Spider-Man. Scarlet Spider, well, they're ending Scarlet Spider, I think, too. So,
I really like Scarlet. Actually, I think he's joining a team, because in that preview book, I seen him in part of a new team that's getting ready to start up.
Oh, that'll be good. That'll be good. Well, that also reminds me. I mistakenly reported that Guardians of the Galaxy was where Agent Venom was going. No, it's Thunderbolts.
Ah, well, that makes more sense.
Yeah,
that
yeah. Makes... Well, I always, because I sat there and as I was saying, I'm like, wait a minute, that doesn't quite sound right. But still, they're a space venturing group, the Thunderbolts. So. Yeah, we'll go with that. But yeah, I mistakenly said Guardians of the Galaxy. I guess I was just too excited about the movie.
Yeah.
Now, who is the new team that Scarlet Spider?
He's going to be joining the New Warriors.
Oh, sweet. Nice. Okay.
And it looks like he'll have Nova in the group, but I don't recognize any of the other people other than Nova. They got Speedball.
Okay.
And this. Nova, Sun Girl, and Hummingbird.
Okay.
Scarlet Spider in there too.
Nice, yeah. I think he'll be good with that because, well, he's just a cool character. He's almost an anti-hero. Well, he didn't want to be a hero, that's for sure.
Scarlet Spider is one of my favorite Spider-Men.
Yeah.
Yeah, he is mine too. I got to catch up on his comic as well.
Yeah, me too. I'm behind on that one. I'm behind on Agent Venom as well.
I kind of like all the alternate Spider-Men. Like, Scarlet Spider. Ben Reilly.
Ben Reilly when he was Scarlet Spider. Yeah. And actually, I don't even want to talk about the clone aspect of Spider-Man. They almost ruined Spider-Man. But, I think they're going to make some good changes in the Marvel Universe.
It also says there's a couple new faces in the New Warriors as well, other than ones that are at all. But...
Oh, okay. Now, does that have the the Thunderbolts on there?
I think, let me see.
Because I'm wondering if that's where I saw it was the previews. I didn't pick that up. I just browsed through it.
Let's see. I mean, Loki, in another term, Loki is getting his own comic.
Oh, that'd be cool.
Yeah.
I wouldn't mind that. Yeah, Loki's always been one of the intriguing characters. They really brought that out when they brought the Thor movies out.
Yeah, it's called Loki, Agent of Asgard.
Okay.
He's kind of going to be, I guess, a secret for Asgard.
Interesting.
He's going to be a one-man secret service, as it says in the previews little text box.
Okay.
I have no idea what's going on, but the little preview without any word bubbles that they have, it shows him trying to sneak into Avengers Tower to, I don't know what he's trying to do, but he gets caught by Thor. Thor throws a hammer at him, and he goes flying out a window.
Oh, that pretty much happens every time, so.
Yeah.
Cool.
It's going to go on that one, but it could be cool.
Cool. I'm looking for it. Marvel's got some good things coming up. They always do. Hey, did you hear about this touring Marvel experience that's going around the country?
No, I did not.
It's kind of like a traveling circus / Disneyland, but for Marvel Universe.
Disneyland on wheels.
And they're going to have, like, stage performances. They're also going to have, like, interactive displays. I could remember the name of it off the top of my head, but they're touring around the country. I'm hoping they come close to us because we'll be going.
Oh, man.
But basically...
If they get close to us, I will gas up my van and we will all go.
There you go. We will make a road trip out of this van. No matter, well, you know, close enough anyway. But
nerd trip.
yeah. I'm going to have to look it up again. I forget what they're calling it. Marvel Experience or something like that. But it opens up and looks like you're going into, as an agent of S.H.I.E.L.D., it looks like you're going in through the tent. It's actually a dome type setup. And in the dome, you're like, you can become an agent of S.H.I.E.L.D. And I mean, it's for the, you know, any Marvel nerd out there, or comic book nerd in general, actually, it looks fantastic. So
I looked it up real quick using my laptop here, and yes, it's called the Marvel Experience Tour.
You cut out there. What, it's called what?
The Marvel Experience.
The Marvel Experience Tour.
Okay.
I really hope they have the guy that plays Agent Coulson there. Like,
they might have.
He plays Coulson in everything.
They might have. You never know. But yeah, it sounded like a pretty cool thing. That's a total sidetrack there on comics, but it's comic related. So speaking of comic related, you ever watch Hulk and the Agents of Smash or something like that?
I've seen a couple episodes of it. I thought it was like,
Well, they got Seth Green doing the voice of the Adam
Blue Hulk,
Adam, whatever. But yeah, they've got Hulk, the Red Hulk, She-Hulk, Scar, and of course the Blue Hulk, which is Seth Green's voice.
And they also recently had Venom and Spider-Man.
Yeah, that's why I brought it up. They also had Spider-Man make an appearance because Venom latches on to all the Hulks.
Oh my!
And it is so cool. He's absorbed. Doc Ock, you know, in the Ultimate Universe. The Ultimate cartoon, the Ultimate Spider-Man cartoon, Doc Ock created Venom. And created the Venom.
Yeah, I've seen that episode.
Yeah. And he created Venom. And in this one, he sends Venom to absorb the gamma radiation from the Hulks. And basically, he latches on to each one and absorbs their gamma power one by one. And then finally, soaks them all in, becomes one big, huge, freaking Venom Hulk.
Venomzilla.
Venomzilla, and it's like, it was really a fun episode. Plus, you know, Ultimate Spider-Man made an appearance.
So, yeah, I'm gonna have to check that one.
We just watched that the other day. I don't know when it exactly came out, but it was on demand, so we had to watch it.
AKA Ultimate Spider-Man, AKA Drake.
Drake Bell, the voice of Ultimate Spider-Man, made his appearance. So, but yeah, you got to check that one out.
Yeah. I'll have to check that one out. I think he was on another episode that I watched before on that Agents of Smash.
Oh, really? Okay.
I think he's made an appearance before, but I'm not sure.
Well, it's kind of cool because I don't watch Agents of Smash very much, but when I saw Venom was on there, first thing I did is I went to On Demand to see if it was already on there because I'm like, I got to watch this if it is. And it was cool. Venom, I mean... Still, it's a Doc Ock created Venom, the ultimate Venom, but it's like it's still a cool concept. They still keep the concept right. So
maybe the show isn't actually that bad, considering the only two episodes that I've seen at least have contained awesome characters, like the first one that we watched had Wolverine.
Yeah, had Wolverine in it,
and like it was weird, but it was awesome.
But they definitely cross over several characters in it. But that's about the only two. There's the Avengers Assemble. That's on Disney XD as well. I haven't watched too many.
I actually like that.
I've only seen like one or two episodes of that.
I did like the kind of the pilot episode.
Yeah.
I thought it was kind of cool of the Red Skull getting a hold of one of Iron Man's armors and twisting it into his
to
help him talk.
Yeah.
That was kind of cool.
Yeah. It looks like Disney, now that they bought out Marvel, they're really turning out the Marvel cartoons.
They're making it better than people are wanting it.
I think there was a lot of Marvel geeks in Disney.
Yeah. it looks like it. At least, if nothing else, they say, hey, this is a franchise that works. So, anyway, well, I tell you what else you got to talk about? Because we're running low on time here.
I don't got much to talk about right now.
Yeah, well, you get moved in and get straightened out, and then we'll next week I expect you to be fully functional.
The only other thing that comes to mind is how good Arrow was this last week.
Yeah, I missed it this week. It's recorded. It's on the DVR. Yeah, I haven't seen it yet.
Definitely check it out. It was pretty good.
Without giving too many spoilers, what all happened?
I'm not listening.
God, I've slept since. I haven't had much sleep, so I can't really.
Oh, Brandon, yeah, you definitely need to get some rest. Next podcast, I expect you to be.
Yeah.
Now,
all I can say, it was a great episode.
Okay.
And learn a lot of what happened on the island.
Okay.
Good. Some more with the Mercuru and yeah. Slate.
Cool.
So.
Well, cool. All right. Well, I got it on DVR, so I'll be bringing that up on the next podcast.
Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. is getting really good, too.
Well, I'll tell you what. It's one thing people are complaining about is that there's no superheroes on there. But if you ask me, I think Joss Whedon is doing a great job of creating the show without superheroes.
From the way last week's played out, I think we're getting ready to see some hero action.
You think so?
Yeah, because I don't know if you've seen it yet, but yeah. The way it kind of sounded, it sounds like that girl that they brought on. Sorry if this is any spoilers, but it sounds like there's some kind of powers that she may have.
Yeah, so. Yeah, I gathered that too. And also that the guy that created that freezing machine thing.
Mm-hmm. Now he kind of, yeah, I was going to say something about that too. So we might be setting up to actually see some superpowers coming into play other than what we've seen with the extremists in there.
Yeah, and yeah, the extremists was one that's like it created some nice, the whole centipede backstory thing. Mm-hmm. And you're wondering, actually, when I first saw the series premiere, I thought mm-hmm. the guy at the beginning was going to be like a Power Man, you know, or.
Yeah,
you know,
I thought, same here, I thought it was going to be Luke Cage.
Yeah, and I thought, okay, Luke Cage, but no, it didn't turn out to be. I'm like, well.
I'm a Rocket Man.
So, no, that's a different. That's a Disney venture. But anyway, so yeah, we're gonna see what happens with that. I think you're right. They might be bringing in some heroes, but whether they create them or use some stock Marvel heroes, we'll have to. That'll be something to see. So, all right. Yeah. Well, I'll tell you what. We're gonna end this podcast. This is it. It's a long one, and I think we're gonna have some long ones from here on out because we're gonna have a lot of people guest starring. And who knows what else will happen on the Nerd Up podcast. So just keep it right here. So in the meantime, closing. What?
Did you mention anything new with Marvel Avengers Alliance?
Oh, no. Let's talk about that. We said we were going to mention it last time. We forgot to talk about it.
I haven't been playing it.
Isaac hasn't been playing it, the slacker. But let's see. First of all, the Spec Ops for Nico Moronu. Yeah, it's
got 1 day left, and I'm not going to be able to get her, and I'm on the last task, and it could bite me.
See, that's one thing with these Spec Ops. You got to have all the heroes they need, and you're lacking Bishop, right?
Yes, I am, and I'm trying to grind out the CP. Well, I actually had to get Spider-Man and Bishop, which I had enough for Spider-Man, which I went ahead and got him, mm-hmm. and I have been on a last two-day thing of trying to grind out CP for Bishop, and I'm not going to get close enough in order to do it.
Yeah, that's one thing. That's one thing that's hard to get is the enough CP to get the heroes. That's why I don't know. That's why I play it like crazy. So
yeah.
All the time, even in when it's the off season, you know, when there's no Spec Ops going on, mm-hmm. I'm constantly farming for CP just to build up my stock. Because right now they got that covert task.
Yeah.
For Sunfire.
Mm-hmm.
And he looks cool, but I'm doing the research for the final thing, and then I got to battle Mephisto, and then I'll have Sunfire unlocked, and I can recruit him.
Have you heard about next Spec Ops yet?
No, I have not.
I have.
Okay. Well, let's hear it.
Hugh, Hugh, Hugh.
Iceman.
Is that right?
Now they need Firestar or whatever.
And
Spider-Man is amazing.
For it's going to have some alternate skins coming out with it for Rogue and Iceman. As well, and Beast, and X-23, and I do believe Magic.
Yeah, I was going to say Magic. I remember seeing the alternate costume.
And Apocalypse is going to be the group boss.
Oh, wow.
Who's Apocalypse again? That name sounds familiar.
Yeah, he's a baddie.
Yeah. Oh, you don't say.
I think it has something to do with the next X-Men movie, if you ask me.
Yeah, probably. Well, let's see here. The next Marvel movie coming out is what?
I think it's Spider-Man.
Spider-Man is the next one coming out.
Because that's like March or May or July or something.
Spider-Man.
Spider-Man's in June.
Okay.
Oh, yeah.
And then, well, so
somewhere in the next few
months. Oh, Captain America might be the next movie. I forget.
Yeah, Captain America, I think, is the next movie.
Okay. Captain America, Spider-Man, and then Guardians, I think, is how that's running this year.
That X-Men movie as well. When is it?
Oh, yeah, that's right. That's later on this year, too.
Yeah.
So.
Fix Deadpool.
But they always put the Spec Ops related when the movies come out. They always keep that in, you know, help promote, cross promote there. So I'm anxious to see what they have for. I heard that they're gonna have Rocket Raccoon, so I bet that's when they do the Guardians Spec Ops.
Oh yeah, I hope they do really some Guardians characters.
Yeah,
some more of them.
Yep. So yeah, but let's see here. So the Spec Ops is almost over. It's like. It'll be done by the time most people download this and listen, by the time I get it produced.
And I'll be messing up a storm over it.
Because you're so close.
Yes.
And then so PvP, again, I hate the PvP because it's not, first of all, it's not really PvP.
It's PvP, yeah. Player versus bot.
Yeah. Lately, I've seen a lot of people using Dr. Doom in the PvP, and he's
almost just Dr. Doom and their agent, and that's what's killing me. I'm like, oh my god, he is too OP.
Yeah, well, see, that's the thing. When you recruit him, I've got Dr. Doom recruited, and when you recruit him,
I need one more comic for him.
Yeah, none of the other heroes will battle with him. It says he's a restricted ally, and he'll only battle with the agent. So, so you can't use him with anybody else. But yeah, he is so overpowered that it's so hard to beat him.
Although he's more OP than Deadpool.
Yeah, and actually, the new thing with the, you know, they got the other ISO, the square ISO that you can put in your uniforms now. They got a new one for Deadpool, which gives him the come at me, bub. You know, the Wolverine protect, and then his sharp pointy things move now inflicts bleeding. So, I got that on my Deadpool. So he's pretty, they got him powered up just right now.
Yeah. I'm doing some tweaking. I'm going to start making up I'm trying to find some guides online for and searching some forums and trying to find a good away team and good go out there and battle team.
Yeah. Well, so far my defense team is, Wolverine and in his brown costume, and also Rescue, so that makes a good defense team.
Yeah, I heard Wolverine in his brown costume is really good for for away team. So.
Yeah, and so that's a good thing. The other aspect they got going on, they got the PvP tournament going on right now. That I just, you know, like I said, I don't like PvP, but Agent Venom is the hero. Yeah. I so badly wanted it, but it's just,
however,
I'm only sitting around the top 43%, and so I can't get any higher.
However,
I'm still at silver, and I've been playing every day, and I can't even get out of silver.
Yeah, same here. I can't get so
8 days remaining, and I'm not even gonna get out of silver.
Yeah.
Anyway, Agent Venom will probably be like Deadpool or any of the other PvP heroes, and you'll be able to.
Yeah, you'll be able to recruit him about a month or so after the thing. 135 CP.
Yeah.
So, I'm going to start, like, a whole CP grinding thing to just get all the heroes
Well, that's what I did. I went through, and I went through every single mission and five-starred every mission until, you know, no matter what. And that was the season one. Season two, you beat the missions. Now, on the season two, though, you need a lot of heroes to beat some of those missions. And so the season two, though, I will say this. If you can beat all those missions, you get a lot of CP, a lot of command points in season two are given out. So
yeah, you'll see me hitting 300 no time.
There you go.
I'm gonna be playing like every day when I move because we're not gonna get cable. We're probably just gonna get internet.
There you go. Play the Marvel Alliance. Yeah, and so so I'm almost got Sunfire. I won't get Agent Venom, but I will recruit him when he becomes available.
For Sunfire, but I'm not gonna get Nico. I'll probably have to get her when she goes on a special later on down the line.
Yeah, and she'll be 200. The way they do the Spec Ops is they only offer them for a limited amount of time.
They got Emma and some of the older ones now up for 200 permanently. So I think after so many months that they'll offer them up permanently after they've like been out for like what a year maybe.
Yeah, something like that. But I know that. The lockbox with heroes, they're hard to get now too.
Because
they stopped some of them. Yeah, some of the earlier ones they stopped. But Yeah, it's I don't know. I'm it's I love the game. It's
addictive.
It very much so is. So
I mean, it's my only Facebook game, I think, really, that I really play. I mean, I have like Angry Birds, Burn, and a couple other games, and I don't even play them. I'm actually getting ready to remove the other games. I only play this.
Yep, anymore. Same here. I used to play Angry Birds, Friends. I used to play that one. There's also a rock music trivia one that I used to play a lot.
A million years ago, Dad played Farmville.
Yeah, when Facebook first came out, yeah, I played Farmville. Here. But now this is the only one, I have a hard time realizing it's a Facebook game because it's so fun. So
yes, exactly. And hopefully they'll get it up for Android here soon.
I thought it was available for Android.
I thought it was too, but I don't know if they haven't got it out yet. I don't know.
I think it is. You just you got it's on Google.
I know
Play.
It's out for iOS, but I don't know about Android.
Yeah. Oh yeah. I'm pretty sure it is out for Android. Check that out.
You just gotta look in the right places.
It's in Google Play. I know that. I remember seeing that, but maybe.
Seen it, but I don't know.
But yeah, if you go to the there's a Marvel Avengers Alliance wiki. And they tell you all the platforms is available and what each platform has different spec ops going on too. So
they also have those links for free gold and free.
Not anymore.
Ah, you suck.
Not anymore. They took a lot of them down. I noticed that.
Yeah, a lot of the free stuff no more there.
Because I was going there for the free CP. Just
yep. Because it used to be where you could get like every 2 weeks you'd get free gold, free CP, or then free ISO for the spec ops, and now they cut that out. They got wise to us,
and that's why I don't play.
So yeah, that's your excuse. Anyway, so all right, well, that's it for the podcast. We're out of time, and this is going to be a good long one. And well, all I can say is we're going to keep it going like this. So in the meantime, I'm Guilty Wilson,
and I'm Brandon Bell.
I'm Isaac Wilson,
and that's it for the Nerd Up podcast this week. Stay nerdy. Nerd Up.
www.gilwilson.com. If you need quality voice work for your radio commercials, audio for TV commercials, or maybe just for that message on hold for your business, you need to check out www.gilwilson.com. GILWILSON.com. www.gilwilson.com. Check it out. It's quirky. It's fun. It's innovative.